The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Psalm 119, verse 160 says this, "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." Now, with that, we welcome you to today's edition of Exploring the Word. My name is Alex McFarland, and we're going to look at the subject of truth. And our main scripture is going to be Romans chapter 1. And if you've got a Bible and you're at a place you can do it, turn there with us. I'm so excited because in the studio with me recording today is Jim Stanley. And you know his voice, and I don't know if you know all that he does to keep this train running, but he does. And Bert is out today, but we're so glad that Jim is with us. And welcome, my brother.
Well, thank you, Alex. It's always good to be on with you.
Well, ditto. Good to be with you. Now, what is your title here at American Family Association?
I have recently been named General Manager.
Okay. All right. And I don't even know it all. I just know you have a lot to say grace over.
And thankful to be able to do so.
Well, I pray for you because these radio stations all over the country, and it's a team effort, I know, but you do a great job.
Well, one of the reasons I can do the job that I do is because of the team that we have.
Oh, yeah.
I just have some really good folks to work with, and it's a blessing. You know, you've been around here enough to know that we're blessed to be here.
Yeah.
But it's something that I am thankful for each day.
Well, amen. Amen. And, you know, I think the favor of God, the blessing of God, the lives being touched, it's all because of this ministry's commitment to truth.
Mm.
Now, we're going to do a show, folks. If you've got Romans 1, turn there. We came up with the title, When the Truth Becomes Contraband. Now, you know, contraband is something illegal. Jim, we're at a time. I know you've been a minister. You've been in ministry in many capacities. Would you have ever thought we'd come to a time when just plain old gospel truth is unpopular, will might get you shunned a little bit, might even get you fired?
Well, I can see in the culture that we're living in, it not only has the possibility of doing all those things, but now, unfortunately, it can also get you sued. Mm-hmm. Because of hate speech, and it can even get you arrested in some areas because of the hate speech laws they passed.
Yeah.
So I liken it, and you've heard me say this before, I liken it to we have people standing in the railroad tracks with a train coming full bore, and we can't warn them the train is coming because we would be the ones at fault, not the ones standing on the railroad tracks.
Well, you know, in Mark 6, and by the way, folks, Christianity is about a lot of things, but it's fundamentally, primarily about truth. Now, Jesus said that he is the truth. The gospel message, how that Christ died for our sins, rose from the grave, that is truth. But truth is the way things are. I mean, if you want a definition of truth, it's reality. It's the way things really are. Now, in Mark chapter 6, when Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, and it says that they were astonished, and how does this man have so much wisdom?
Mm-hmm.
But then in verse 3 of Mark 6, it says many were offended at him. Now, I was looking in the I've got an interlinear Greek English New Testament, and the word is the word for scandal. I mean, they were scandalized. Christ is saying he's the Son of God. He's the Messiah that has been promised. They said, wait a minute, this is the son of Joseph and Mary, and his presentation of himself as the Savior, you know, people are still like this today. Some viewed that as scandalous.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're absolutely right, Alex, and people want to, and again, it goes back to the culture we live in. Everything has to be a scandal. There's drama in everything.
Yeah.
And so you and I were talking earlier that truth is no longer an absolute. Well, the truth of the matter, no pun intended, is that the definition of truth has not changed. And the absolute, The absolute truth of the Word of God hasn't changed. So I think it comes back to something you've shared and we'll share again here in just a little bit. We've tried to change what truth is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the things that when man begins to define it to suit his own needs, it's the same thing with justice. Justice no longer means what true justice is.
Mm-hmm.
And so folks want to take that and they want to come up with almost a whole new Webster's dictionary, if you will, and the things and the way words are defined.
I know. You know what? I was in a meeting with some folks the other day, and we were talking about some great Christian leaders of old, like C.S. Lewis, that I'm going to mention in a minute, and Charles Spurgeon, and you know, some of the people that have been mightily used by God, D.L. Moody, R.A. Torrey. And I said, you know, some of these books that have been in print for 100 years that are viewed as classics could, and I was with half a dozen major publishing figures mm-hmm. from the big publishers. I said, could C.S. Lewis get a book deal today? In other words, would a publisher?
Right.
And the general consensus is if he were just starting out today, no way could he get published. Charles Spurgeon. And think about it, a lot of these people that just faithful to the Word of God, they laid the cards on the table, you know, sin is bad, Christ is God, the blood alone washes your guilt away.
Right.
That's a tough sell these days.
Well, because it goes back to a basic definition that you and I have talked about before, and I know Bert and I have. It's because we want to make it Jesus and Jesus or. And neither of those are acceptable.
Yeah.
For by grace are you saved through faith in Christ, not Christ and,
right.
but Christ.
Yeah.
The truth of the word remains. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me.
That's right.
And so these basic tenets haven't changed one whit. And it goes back to what I said now. Well, Jesus doesn't do that. I can do that. I have the ability to save myself. I know what truth is. I don't need anyone to tell me. No, what I'm doing isn't wrong.
Yeah.
It's just wrong for you.
Yeah.
Well, folks, that doesn't change the absolute fact that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Have you noticed how a lot of people, I mean, if you preach the true gospel, a lot of people nowadays will dismiss it as either hate or mm-hmm. fear.
Right.
We might say, well, you know, Christ alone is the Savior. Well, why do you hate those that aren't Christians? Well, we don't. Why are you phobic? You're phobic. No, don't hate anybody.
Right.
Not afraid of anything. We're just telling you the truth. Now, I want to read a little bit from Romans chapter 1, and we're going to basically spend the show today talking about Romans 1. This is a pre-record. We can't take your calls today, but we do want you to stay tuned because we're going to give you, in a few moments, four facts about the abandonment of truth and how we need to, in our culture, be really champions for truth. But I'm going to read Romans 1. I'm going to begin at verse 18. The Word of God says this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Now think about that. We're going to come back to it. "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things." Okay, so Jim, they had revelation of the true God,
right?
But they didn't like that, so they created idols. But rather than being liberated, they became darkened and frankly, in bondage, didn't they?
Absolutely. And when you think about that, their idol, we are called to glorify Christ. We're called to serve Him by serving others in His name mm-hmm. and through His word. But they became prisoners of the very religions they sought to build, the alternatives that they sought to build. They got so wrapped up in the things that they could and couldn't do by their own hand, that Christianity suddenly seemed like a much better option, but they still chose to remain in servitude to their false gods.
Isn't that something? That's a great point. If you think, my dear friend, that it would be burdensome to live for the Lord, and you think, I don't want to go to church, you know, hey, Sunday's my day to sleep in, you know, or I don't want all that, I will tell you, don't reach a point in life where through circumstances, and by the way, God always acts redemptively. He allows things in our life to try to draw him to himself. But there might come a day when suddenly walking with Jesus looks pretty, pretty appealing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've got so much. You're listening to Exploring the Word. Folks, we're doing a show called When the Truth Becomes Contraband. If you've got Romans there, Jim, would you read the 24 through 27?
I'll be happy to. We therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Now, Alex, I want folks to hear our hearts here, because this is where they're going to start saying, well, you just hate everybody. You know, and folks, we don't. If anything, we want to see you brought back to natural restoration in Christ, to where you – it's one thing, and you know people that are brought out of the gay lifestyle like I have, and they may still be homosexual, but they're not a practicing homosexual. Mm-hmm. You know, the same is true for heterosexual sin. Mm-hmm. You know, there are things that we do that aren't natural. You know, we lust after another woman besides our spouse. Mm-hmm. Now, at my house, that would get you knocked in the head. I'm not sure about what Angie would do. But, you know, when you think about these things, folks say you just always want to pick on homosexual. And that's not true. But we've gotten to the point that we can't say anything to anyone because everyone is looking for a reason to be offended. And when we look back to that, where it says God gave them up to uncleanliness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, there in verse 24 and 25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Mm. You know where that first happened? Yeah. In Genesis.
Very true.
In
the Garden of Eden.
When the serpent said, God didn't mean that.
You're putting me on half gods?
Right.
You mean he told you that?
Yeah.
You will not. I mean, you know what? Whenever I read the Genesis 2 and 3, the fall of man, it's almost like the words of the serpent are just dripping mm-hmm. with sarcasm. I mean, it's dark, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. Hey, folks, stick around. I'm Jim Stanley along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and we have the subject today, When the Truth Becomes Contraband, and it's brought to you out of chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. And we'll be back with Exploring the Word right here on American Family Radio.
AFR Talk.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page and watch the latest broadcast, facebook.com/exploringtheword.
I've got a picture here of the September 8th, 1947, Time Magazine. And on the cover, and by the way, if you ever see one of these, you need to snap it up. It's a real collector's item. But C.S. Lewis made the cover of Time Magazine. And the headline under his picture, it says, Oxford's C.S. Lewis, His Heresy, Orthodoxy.
Wow.
In other words, because here's this guy that was an esteemed scholar, you know, a very intelligent person. You know, he wrote some books on literature that are still textbook to this day. But how could, you know, this was the mindset. How could somebody so intelligent become one of these born-again evangelicals? He set forth Christian orthodoxy, which is truth, but in the mindset of many, that was a heresy, which is falsehood. Jim, I think here we are, you know, I guess 60, 70 years removed from that time, more than ever, biblical truth is, in the mindset of many, an absolute falsehood, a heresy, isn't it?
It is, and I think it goes back to what we're here in Romans chapter 1, and we're covering verses 24 through 27 right now. I think a lot of that is found here. And it goes back to what we, you know, what the scripture says. They have exchanged the truth of God for the lie. And you and I had started talking about that. And then notice that next part. It says, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator.
Mm.
And we are that way. Let's think about the advertisements we see on TV.
Yeah.
You know, you don't, all right, I'm going to be the first to admit, I am a chunky guy. You know, I'm like Gabriel, I can't remember the comedian's name. I'm fluffy. You know, I'm a big guy. But you don't see me on a Diet Coke commercial.
Yeah, you know? We're both from the South where, you know, eating is one of the spiritual gifts.
It's absolutely true. And I'm a full gospel preacher.
Amen.
So it works out well. But, you know, when you see these things, the people that they have doing these commercials are supposed to be the epitome of what everyone wants to be. And they have sold our children a lie, convincing all of them that if they aren't blonde-haired, blue-eyed, straight teeth, whitened teeth, bleached teeth, and skinny as a rail and can fit in a size zero. Now, let's think about that. A dress size zero.
You'd be a ghost, I guess.
You know, it's one of those things. And I'm not saying it's good to be unhealthy. Don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is that those are the people we worship.
Yeah.
You know, we even have the program called American Idol. And we've set people up because we want them to do their best and we want them to be what we look at rather than the Christ of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to see that. We don't want to talk about the blood. We don't want to talk about the scars. We don't want to talk about the stripes on his back. All of that has been set aside because we want to see what is gorgeous. We want to see what is handsome. You know, some folks want to see the guy with his shirt off and the six pack. Well, I'm not a six pack guy.
Mm-hmm.
But Alex, I don't mean to just completely take over. But that's one of the things that really bother me is that we have become a generation that worships the creature rather than the creator.
Well, that's true. And, you know, worshiping the creature rather than the creator, loving the blessings more than the blesser, that's a form of idolatry. A couple of months ago, I saw a car commercial, one of the automobile manufacturers, and it was a brand new car. And, of course, there's all the beautiful people that are, you know, they're happy because they've got this car, and it will fulfill you. But the headline on this commercial said, "Thou shalt covet."
Yeah, thou shalt not.
Yeah. Then, listen to this, a few months ago, one of the major retailers, it was near Christmas, and I was driving down a street, and I heard this radio commercial, and it said, this year. And what they were doing, they were selling this like ginormous 68-inch screen. No down payment. You can pay it. And in the fast, they were like 12 to 18% interest. But it said, this year, prove to your family that you love them.
Yeah.
By getting this big TV and going into debt. Now, it's fine to have a TV and it's fine to work, save your money, get the things you need. But I thought, having counseled hundreds of teenagers over the last 20 years, and I know you in ministry— listen, I know a lot of kids that have sat down and wept over their family situation. I've yet to have a young person say, if only my parents could prove they love me by a better TV.
Yeah.
You know, but we live in a culture where really truth is not viewed as beautiful or valuable. Now, one last thing before we get back to Romans chapter 1. What God considers beautiful and desirable and what we consider beautiful and desirable are two different things, aren't they?
They are, because most folks can't see what he desires from us.
Yeah.
He has desired a contrite heart. You know, you can't see, we can't judge the position of anyone's heart,
yeah.
but God can,
yeah.
and that's what he wants to see. You know, and I think of the verse from Micah, what have I required of thee? And I need to go look that up now because
walk humbly, do justice, and fear thy God.
And yeah, and so when you think of that, those are things that God desires. But when's the last time you saw a humble person?
It's rare.
I don't mean that to down anyone. We've got some great local pastors who are humble and serve their flock, but we have a lot more pastors who expect their flock to serve them.
Isn't that something?
Because we've come, and it goes back to the disproportionate way that we view truth.
Did you ever meet Elizabeth Elliot?
I did not.
You know, she was with the Lord. She was a missionary, and her husband and many of her colleagues were martyred by the Alca Indians in South America. And then for years, I mean, she and some of the wives that were the young widows stayed down there for a lot of years, won a lot of people to Christ. She recently passed away a couple years ago. But she was old and wrinkled and very haggard. But she was beautiful. And I know many of you listening, you're going to know what I'm talking about. I've been on the road in all these churches, and I'll meet some dear old saint of God that is bent over, wrinkled up, but they are beautiful because the righteousness of Jesus just shines out from
yeah.
their count. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was going to use the phrase, the radiance of the Holy Ghost exudes from them.
Exactly.
Because you know they're prayer warriors.
Yeah.
You know that they have spent time at the feet of God,
yeah.
and it's because of them. It's because a lot of those prayer warriors that American Family Radio is able to do what it does, because we couldn't do it if people weren't praying to God for us, because we would be, I think we'd be off the air, in all honesty, if it weren't for the prayer warriors. We appreciate the financial gifts. We have bills to pay like anyone else does. And yes, we do ministry, but, you know, the light company, they still want their money every month. And so we have to have the financial aspect as well. But it's those prayer warriors like you're talking about who spend time interceding for us, for you on your ministry. I know that you have people that pray for you before you get somewhere, before you go somewhere. And so it's those kinds of folks that we really do have to count on. And now I know that you know Jim Cimbala with Brooklyn Tabernacle.
Oh, man, what a mighty man of God.
The whole reason that church, and he'll say this, he's written a book about it. Mm-hmm. The whole reason his church is able to minister like it does is because of the Tuesday night prayer meeting. And it's not a gossip fest. It's not a gab fest. When they come to have prayer meeting, they have a prayer meeting.
Exactly. Now, you and I have both pastored, but folks, you got to understand, we're not up here on some high horse. We're just little sheep that love the shepherd too,
Amen.
You know. But here's the thing. I've counseled many a man who calls me and tearfully explains a bad decision and how life has imploded because of something he did. And, oh, if I could go back. I've never, ever had a senior saint of God say, I've walked with Jesus 50 years and, boy, do I regret it.
Right.
Never. Right. He's sweeter as the day go by. We're talking about truth, and friend, build your life on truth.
Absolutely.
With the help of the Holy Spirit, with the enlightenment of the Word of God, and with the encouragement of the body and the accountability of the body of Christ, begin at a young age to be a person on the path of truth.
Amen.
And I got to tell you this really quick. You were talking about how people intercede for this ministry, and they do. You know, I'm to the point now after being on AFR for about 6-7 years. I mean, I meet people in airports routinely who come up and they'll say, Alex McFarland, I hear you on Exploring the Word. And they'll look me up and down, and I'll say, it's a letdown, isn't it? I've got a good face for radio. But, you know, the people that have really given their life to truth and frankly, disciplined themselves because we are disciples.
Right.
All right. I had a man call me up and he said his wife had died. And he said, my wife and I prayed And I don't add anybody to my prayer list lightly, but God has put on my heart that you and Angie are going to be on my prayer list. Mm. So we went to see this gentleman in his house. He was rather elderly. So Jim, he pulls out this very, very worn out folder. And there's like dozens of names. Some are scratched through. And clearly this manila folder was like worn out. And he began to share, and he was missing his wife who had gone on, that he and his wife decided to pray for missionaries and ministers. And Josh McDowell of Campus Crusade, he had prayed for Josh. He said, we would get up and every morning from about 4:30 to 6, about an hour and a half, we would pray by name. And he said, some have gone on to be with the Lord. He said, so I never add a name without really thinking about it. And so I'm going to add you and Angie. And I said, well, thank you. And I said, hour and a half, 2 hours a morning. And he said, we never, ever, ever missed. Now listen to this. Brace yourself. I said, wow, how long did you do that? And he said, since 1964.
Oh, my goodness.
And I thought, I'm not even worthy to be in this man's presence.
Yeah.
I said, wait a minute. And this was just, I'm going to say, 5 years ago. So this is up until about, 2011 or 20. I said, you, every morning since 1964, you prayed for this prayer list? And he said, I don't think we ever missed a day. Now, that is a level of commitment to righteousness and truth that I wish I could say I had, but that's why, folks, you can have as much of Jesus as you want. And the fact is, we do have as much of Jesus as we want.
Yeah, and sometimes that goes the other way because we don't want a lot.
Isn't that something?
Because the more we have, the more we know what we're missing.
That's right. Now, so, I'm going to read a little more from Romans 1. I'm going to begin at 28, and then we're going to give you some facts about truth. Now, remember, they had compromised morally. They had reverted to idolatry. They were doing things that 26, 27 says are contrary to nature and even shameful. And it says in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased or reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, I know this is a long list, but folks, we are at a time in our culture. And look, I love America. I love life. Jim, I wake up every morning. I think, hallelujah, another day.
Yeah.
I'm a happy camper. But I'm very concerned at how unpopular the knowledge of God and biblical truth, basic biblical truth, has become.
Right. Oh, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And notice that in that last listing there, pardon me, not the last listing, but back in 28, where to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, and maliciousness. And then it goes on to say, full of envy, murder, strife, etc. But look at those three right there, kind of in the middle. Wickedness, a coveting heart, maliciousness. Do you understand what it means to be malicious? It can be,
think evil about somebody. Scheme on somebody.
Break it down even a little further. Man, she just couldn't hold that key in the choir this morning, could she?
Wow.
You mean the pastor lets his wife dress like that?
Isn't that something?
That's the youth pastor, and they let their kids do that? What's wrong? And that, when we think about this, Alex, that's how close to home it comes. Because
it,
we can be malicious without, bless their hearts, and that makes everything okay.
Yeah.
That's a great Southern colloquialism where it just covers everything, but it really doesn't. When we start to let ourselves be put in the position that we're putting down the man or woman of God who God has called to serve us in that time, who he's called maybe to come and be an evangelist like you do, who's come to preach apologetics like you do, when we begin to say, did you see Alex's tie? You've suddenly set everything aside that Alex has taught and said, man, he had a little spot on his tie. Well, who cares about a spot on the tie? Let's talk about the truth he preached about for the last hour.
Amen.
Let's come back to that. But we can't correct those people because we're worried we will offend them.
Wow. Oh, that is a good word. I think a lot of people, they go to church on Sunday and they, after the service lets out, they have filet of pastor.
That's right.
You know? And so, folks, I'm convicted reading this. And we need to have a
Absolutely.
Pure heart for Jesus and a pure heart for truth.
We do. Hey, folks, stick around. When we come back, we're going to cover the four facts about the abandonment of truth right here on Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Now back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk. AFR Talk. AFR Talk.
Let the power of your words dwell here richly.
Well, welcome back indeed. I'm not Bert Harper. I'm Jim Stanley. Bert's out today, and it's my privilege to sit in with Dr. Alex McFarland. And by the way, folks, I was sharing just before the break, before I went off on my little diatribe, that Alex does do evangelical work, and he does also do speaking engagements as an apologetics teacher. And if you'd like to have Alex come to your church, I've seen his calendar. He doesn't have a lot of them, but he still has some open dates. Mm-hmm. And folks, it doesn't matter if you seat 50 or if you seat 50,000. He's happy to come either way. And you can find out information on that at alexmcfarland.com.
God bless you, Jim. Thank you so much. Yeah, you know what? Every now and then somebody will call and they'll say, well, you know, we're just a little church. And I say this, and I really mean it with all my heart, for a saved sinner to open the scriptures anywhere is an honor, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
Now, folks, we've been talking about if truth becomes contraband, and I want to give some observations here after reading Romans chapter 1, 18 through 32, and just looking at our culture. Number one, and we believe this. I think we've seen evidences of it, but number one, loss of truth begins with moral compromise. I'm just going to say this. In our culture, I think part of the reason that we are in kind of a time of lawlessness, Jim, is because of many moral compromises, but the greatest of all, I'm just going to say it, is abortion.
Yeah.
And since 1973, we've not only had human beings made in the image of God by the Declaration of Independence, they are guaranteed life. And yet we're aborting 2,500 to 3,000 a day, largely with federal subsidy and money to do it.
Yeah.
Now, people often ask me, they'll say, you know, how did we lose the family and how did we get to where so many things are now acceptable? I said, look, if you can be okay with the killing of the unborn, chances are you're not going to bat an eye that some singer on TV has a risque outfit or something.
Right.
Loss of truth begins with a compromise of moral behavior.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, you know, you think about the abortion industry and how they've grown, but you also look at the lawyers and how popular they became with no-fault divorce became the law of the land.
Yeah.
You know, there was no longer a stigma about being divorced. The fact that, you know, and I'm sure this was in your wedding vows as well, where with what God has joined asunder, pardon me, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder.
Yeah.
You know, well, nowadays, there are a lot of folks that don't even have that in there.
Yeah.
Because their marriage isn't before God and the people. Their marriage is simply before the people, and they begin to question, well, why do we even have to be married?
Exactly.
You know, that just comes with more baggage. And so there's that. You know, when you were talking about abortion, and I don't want to take away from that at all, it goes back to the ones who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them.
Mm.
That's where, you know, when you talk about the loss of truth, when you talk about the loss of any moral ambiguity, that's why. And that's one of the big things about the quote-unquote sexual revolution of the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
They were no longer looking to be rebels. They were looking to be approved and, by and large, gained approval. From that, we've grown into the homosexual and that lifestyle where once it was taboo. Well, then it became, well, that's really their business.
Yeah.
Well, now it's not even a matter of what's done in the privacy of one's own home. It's now to the point, well, no, you have to rubber stamp what we want or you're just a hater.
Yeah.
You know, and so when we look at that, the same is true of abortions. Now, folks, let me make this very clear. If you have if you're a lady and you've gone through an abortion, there is forgiveness at the cross, just like for you as there was for me. If you're a man who encouraged the woman to get the abortion, there is forgiveness at the foot of the cross, just like there was for me. There is forgiveness in Christ. And as you said earlier, he's always redeeming life. Mm-hmm. And so if you've gone through that, there is forgiveness in Christ. But it doesn't take away from the truth of the fact that what was done was sin. And that is the most unpopular word in the vocabulary of men now in this modern age.
Well said. Well said. You probably, in your toolbox, have a tape measure, you know.
I do.
A few years ago, I bought a tape measure, and I looked at it, and it looked kind of funny. Apparently, when they painted, you know, it's kind of yellow, and then they painted the marks, it was kind of cockeyed. So I took it back to the store, and the guy said, oh, yeah, there's a whole batch of these that they got wrong, and the inches were not on there. And he said, we're doing everything. The company is working hard to, you know, recall all these that were not accurate because we don't want people measuring wrong. He said, here you go. Here's one that's good. Now, the idea when you define truth by your opinion rather than the Word of God— and even things like moral issues and marriage and human sexuality and gender, that's like measuring a board with a messed up ruler.
Right.
I mean, you're going to get an incorrect outcome. And, you know, if you're building a cabinet and you cut your board wrong, that's bad enough. But look, when you morally, spiritually, culturally, you make the wrong decisions and you're measuring with a false instrument— the outcome is tragic. Mm. Now, let me just say this, folks. Idolatry, the Word of God is very clear that we are not to be idolaters.
Right.
And I've met many, many people, and they'll say to me, Alex, I hear you on the radio, and you guys preach it pretty hard sometimes, but I've got a nephew, and he's a good boy, and he's in a homosexual relationship, and I want you to know it hit home pretty close, and do you mean to tell me he's not a good person? Look, that's not the discussion at all.
Right.
When you redefine truth in light of a personal relationship or something like that, I mean, yeah, obviously we love people. We build the relationships, and I've got a lot of friends and relatives that I'm going to invest in them whether they ever come to Christ or not.
Right.
But if we exchange circumstances and opinions for the written revelation of God, that's a type of idolatry, isn't it, Jim?
Well, it goes back to what we said a moment ago, that they want to worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator.
Yeah.
Because we want to do those things that are pleasing in men's sight, because again, it goes back to that big word offense. We don't want to be a stumbling. Well, the Scripture says you're not supposed to be a stumbling block. Yeah, but that's where your lifestyle, my lifestyle, that's how we become the stumbling block, not because we tell somebody there's something there you're going to trip over.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, it may not be today, but there's something over there you're going to trip over because of the lifestyle you're leading.
Yeah.
For me and my obesity, it's diabetes. I've tripped over diabetes. I understand that. And that is something that I wrestle with, honestly, all the time. Because my when I say my sin is always before me, it is. Because it sticks out about a foot in front of the rest of my body.
Now, but, that's not true.
Well, it's close. Some days it seems like it. But, I mean, you know, for me, that doesn't change the absolute truth that I find at the Centers for Disease Control when it says A and B are going to cause C. Well, folks, the same is true for some of the lifestyle preferences that we have.
Yeah.
If you visit the Centers for Disease Control, a government-run operation, and they tell you that if you do A plus B, there is going to be consequences in C.
The result is going to be C, yeah.
There's something over there you're going to trip over. Let me warn you about it.
Yeah.
Let me help you keep from falling. That's what we're supposed to do. And you're right. We can't do that if we change the measurement or if we change the truth.
So number one, loss of truth begins with moral compromise. Number two, loss of truth makes it even harder for one to perceive the gospel.
Yeah.
It's hard enough for a sinner to admit their need of a Savior anyway. But Jim, how do we in the 21st century, how do people understand their need for a Savior if they really don't think there's any sin they've ever committed?
Well, there's an app for that.
Yeah, there must be. I got.
And I said that, you know, tongue in cheek, but that's what we expect to tell us what right and wrong is nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, there's a moral compass, but folks, unfortunately, it's like the tape measure Alex bought. The moral compass of America can no longer be depended on.
Well, exactly. I was. I got an email from the Barna Research Group, David Kinneman, George Barna. Really good stuff, trend watchers. And the phrase stuck out to me. There's no longer cultural guilt for sin and abandoning church. I mean, there was a time when we, you know, there's Christianity and then there's morality, folks. There's religion and there's natural law. Now, the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution says that the government is not going to establish a religion. But listen very carefully, in no way does that mean that the First Amendment means we have to abandon moral truth.
Right.
A lot of people, if you talk about the Ten Commandments and morality, they'll say, you're establishing a religion. No, look, religion and natural law, self-evident truth, morality, two different things. There was a time when even those that weren't church folk had a respect for the Word of God.
Right.
Had a certain respect for the church. But we're in a time, as Barna says, when there is no longer cultural guilt. And so when verse 31 in Romans 1 says they're undiscerning, we need to pray for the Spirit of God to give conviction, because there's a lot of people that don't believe in Jesus. There's a lot of people who don't know there's a Jesus they need to believe in.
Say that one more time.
There's a lot of people who don't believe in Jesus. Then there's people who don't know there's a Jesus they need to be believing in.
That's true. And the way you phrase that lines up with later in Romans, where it talks about how shall they hear without a preacher.
That's right.
And if the preacher is preaching something that's not true, if he or she is not planted on the firm foundation of the Lord, then there's something wrong. And by the way, in the notes that we're going through, and Alex, this is an incredible outline, you have verse 17 listed, and it's Romans 1, verse 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And that's one of the things there that we just cannot falter on. In fact, in Hebrews 10:38, it says, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him.
Mm.
And that, by the way, that my is a capital M.
Yeah.
So it's the Lord,
talking.
That finds no pleasure in those of us who know the truth, who have sought the truth and then back away from the truth. Doesn't mean that I've lost my salvation. I want to be clear about that. But I have probably lost the joy of my salvation, because the one that I want to have the relationship with is not finding any pleasure in me.
Do you remember Word of Life, great ministry up in New York, Jack Wortson?
Yep.
And he said, before you can get somebody saved, sometimes you have to get them lost.
Yeah.
And so that's why this thing of the loss of truth, the erasure of moral boundaries is a concern, because people need to understand their guilt before God. The third point we want to make as we begin to wrap up, disobedience is ultimately and always the result of unbelief. And in there, it talks about the things of God that they really did know. Jim, I think in the Romans chapter 1, verse 20, I mean, this is sober, chilling. Mm-hmm. It says, they are without excuse. Now, folks, can you imagine standing before the Almighty one day, and, you know, it'd be bad enough to go to hell from anywhere.
Right.
But think about America, where 24/7, you know, the radio stations are pumping out David Jeremiah and Billy Graham, and then there's a church on about every other corner, and there's Christian bookstores.
Yeah.
And there, I mean, a person who left this world in a state of unbelief from the USA would have no excuse.
Absolutely.
No excuse.
And it doesn't matter what the background is, be it Hindu, Muslim, you know, any other, Baptist, charismatic, you get to the mainline Protestants, mainline Catholics, you look at all of that. Folks, there, as Alex said, there's no excuse for that if you leave this world without knowing the truth of Christ. And, you know, when you said that about verse 20, this is what the whole verse says. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. How is that possible?
Well, I think it goes back to Psalm 19 that says the heavens and earth declare mm-hmm. the glory of God. In other words, bear witness. I mean, if you look at this created world, and I mean, I've experienced this in Africa and parts of third world countries where people say, there must be an almighty God. Folks, a book that is a really good book is called Eternity in Their Hearts. It's by a missiologist named Don Richardson. And Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has put eternity in our hearts. Don Richardson, very respected, is one of the biggest selling Christian books ever. He wrote a very famous book called Peace Child. Do you remember that book?
I do.
But in Eternity in Their Hearts, Don Richardson documents all these cultures that did know about there must be an all-powerful God, he must be holy, he must be righteous. Somehow I've got to get straight with him. And so, Jim, I'm going to let you take us out, but folks, don't abandon truth. As we said at the beginning, the sum of his word is truth, mm-hmm. and it does endure forever.
It absolutely does. And leaving you on 1 Timothy 4:1-3, folks, when you have time, go back and look that up. 1 Timothy 4:1-3, and that'll help kind of put a bow on this teaching that Alex has had for us today. Folks, this has been Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. Stay tuned. Tony Perkins is next with Washington Watch on AFR.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.